Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I know I've said this to you so many times, but I do pray that the Word of God can enliven you, you can hear it in a way you haven't heard it before, and it touches you, even if it's one sentence in this. Listen to this word carefully. Don't just take it as some book you picked up. This is the sacred word coming from Christ. Listen carefully. The book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 to 2, then 15 to 17, then 18b. You get that? First reading 24, 1 to 2a, 15 to 17, and 18b. I'm repeating this because I really want you, if you can, have a Bible here and take it and read it with me, because the word can go in more as it's coming through two sources. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve." Are we worshiping false gods? "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your father served beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites, in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods, for it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed these great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." That speaks for itself, doesn't it? The people really coming to the point where they are able to put their faith in him, whom they have not seen, some of them. Psalm 34 is, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord has eyes for the just and ears for their cry. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." Brothers and sisters, how much he loves us. How much he loves us. He's close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. He saves. Think of that. "Many are the troubles of the just one, but out of them all, the Lord delivers him. He watches over all his bones. Not one of them shall be broken." God cares for us. He sees us. He knows me right now where I am in this studio recording these programs. He sees me. He sees you listening to this program. He knows all about you. We're in the finite world. But someday, when we die, may we be ready to enter the kingdom of God forever. And now we take a look at the reading of the St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 21 to 32. "Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ." Subordinate doesn't have to mean that you have to crawl around on your hands and knees following the Lord. No woman would do that today. But he's not saying that. Subordinate, in other words, you look to him. You look to him to bring Christ to you. You look for his encouragement. You give it to him as well. But part of the marriage promise is to care for one another, that we might see the kingdom of God. And that's what we want. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not reverence for a man, but out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed him over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. Brothers and sisters, let me just pause there for a moment. Do you love one another as God is asking you to? Are you following the Lord in your kindness to your spouse, understanding, forgiveness, mercy? That's what we're called to do, to give it to one another. Brothers and sisters, God is simply choosing people that you have chosen, your wife or your husband. He's choosing them to be a sign of his presence to you, to love them. Love them. Forgive. Be peaceful. When you get angry, ask forgiveness, please. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, give me the grace to do that. You will be amazed at what God does for you in your marriage when you do that. As we take a look now at John chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. And I want to give you a little bit of background for this Sunday's gospel. Jesus says to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Brothers and sisters, that's the hard saying, to eat his flesh and his blood, that you might have life everlasting. He comes to us to feed us, to nourish us, to enliven us. And I see so many people jumping right after Mass is over and jumping up and going. Sometimes that's absolutely necessary, especially when you have small children. But why don't you, as a couple, just take 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 if you're really holy? No, I'm teasing. But just take a few minutes and sit there or kneel there before God and speak of your love for him. Please do that, because God will hear you. And the gospel for today is according to John chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Draw close as often as you can to his living word. This word is living, active, as I've said to you before, many times. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it can separate bone from marrow. This word is alive, brothers and sisters. Let it dwell in your heart and see what fruit it bears. Brothers and sisters, we want to be. We don't want to walk away from Jesus. As Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Brothers and sisters, more than ever in the country where we are, but especially in the U.S., most of us, brothers and sisters, really need to give more time to the Lord for reading his word, seeking to understand it. It's not that difficult to understand. We say, "Oh, I don't get anything out of it." You're not allowing it to take root in your heart and your mind and your body. That's where it begins to bear fruit for you. God loves you. Loves you more than you could understand. We love with human love. God loves with divine love. And he loves you. Loves you more than you ever know. And he asks us to make our lives as pleasing to him as we can. We can't do it all at once. I've said that so many times, but please don't say, "Okay, I'm going to change today." Take one thing that you know you need to change. Take that before the Lord. Ask the Lord to hold it in his hand and to help you to change that habit. Please, brothers and sisters, when you finish one, take another. And more God's grace will pour into your soul because you're inviting him, you're asking him. He will come to you and bless you. My goodness, I think of how much I need to think of that myself. Many times I take it for granted that God knows I love him. I'm here. I go to communion. I serve God every day. I'm called a servant of God's love, and that's what I'm seeking to do day after day. But have I really taken that before the Lord every day and said, "Lord, help me to become a servant of your love"? That's what I'm called to be, a servant of his love. And in a way, we all are, that we might see heaven, in a way. But I need to do it better myself. Ask God. Ask God what it is in you that needs to change, that you can love people more and not be gossiping about people, but open your heart to the Lord and to his grace and his love for you. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.